It's a Tuesday. You know what that means. Time for the FHN Dial-A-Doc program here today. And joining us here today from Burchard Hills Podiatry at FHN, the Family Healthcare Center, Dr. Roland Tolliver is back with us again today. Hey, Dr. Tolliver, good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
Great. It's always great to talk to you. Always great information. Of course, it's that time of year now. We got to worry about our feet being cold. Talk a little bit about frostbite out there and the issues relating to that.
Well, basically, frostbite is an injury that's caused by freezing of the skin. It can also freeze the underlying tissues if it gets bad enough. But basically what happens is when we're exposed to the cold for either very extreme cold temperatures for short periods of time or below freezing temperatures for extended periods of time, so what will happen is that the skin will become very cold and red. Oftentimes it will become numb, and then it will become hard and pale. The frostbite most commonly affects the fingers, the toes, the nose, the tips of our ears, the tips of our nose, and the cheeks and the chin. Basically, anything that's exposed to the cold is going to be much more susceptible to frostbite, or the precursor to that is called frost nip, which basically means that there's no permanent damage to the tissue, but it's the early signs that frostbite may be developing.
What about, we haven't had this yet this year. I would expect that we're going to have some of this weather, you know, that bitterly cold weather, the take your breath away kind of weather. How quickly can frostbite happen?
If the temperature is cold enough, it can be within 5 minutes. Most of the time, it's going to usually take between 15, 20 to 30 minutes, depending on how long you're out in the elements. Again, you know, if there can be, the wind chill factor plays a role. The biggest thing is what type of tissue is exposed. You know, basically, our face is susceptible to it, and you know, people think that, well, I've got warm socks and shoes on, and you know, it's not going to happen. Well, if you're out long enough, it can definitely still happen. You know, there's people that have been out on shoveling snow, they can develop it in the fingers due to the fact that they were gripping the shovel tight enough and they're not getting circulation to the tips of their toes or tips of their fingers, or they're out in boots that may not be insulated well enough. Anything like that for extended periods of time can lead to symptoms consistent with frostbite. You know, if we get severe enough in frostbite, you know, I've actually seen cases where it's gotten down and affected the nerves, the blood vessels, and even the bone.
Mm, wow. What about, tell us some of the symptoms. So if you're, you know, you feel that you may be exposed too long, give us some imminent dangers or imminent issues relating to frostbite.
Well, the first thing is the skin will become cold, and sometimes you get like a prickling type feeling at the tips of your fingers or toes. Numbness will oftentimes set in. Take your gloves off, you can actually see that your skin is turning red or white or even a bluish white color. And in worst case scenarios, you're going to see like a grayish yellow skin coloration that almost looks waxy, like, you know, like your Madame Tussauds wax museum. Eventually, you can develop clumsiness and, you know, muscle stiffness, and then in the very severe cases, you'll see blistering that occurs after you've warmed your fingers or toes or face, and subsequently, you can also see even gangrene set in.
What about, okay, so the first thing I would think of if I'm in this situation, run my hands under warm water. Is that the way to go?
In the early stages, that's still acceptable, but it needs to be just warm water, not hot water. If it's hot water, the body is physiologically cannot handle the sudden change in temperature, and so what will happen is that there will become increased pain, there will most likely be the development of blisters, and you'll get additional damage to the tissue. So warm water is okay. The other things that you need to do, make sure getting warm in general, let it gradually warm up. You know, and you get inside the house, put on a fresh, warm pair of gloves if you need to, or a warm pair of socks. You know, basically, ibuprofen sometimes will help if you're feeling like a real burning or painful sensation initially. So, but the biggest thing is the rewarming is necessary, but you want to do it gradually, and you don't want to do it under very hot water.
All right. Okay. So this could be just the opposite of a burn. You can actually blister when you get too cold, too, at the same time.
You can. I thought of that the other day. It was just, you know, basically they're two ends of the same spectrum almost. You know, too much hot and you're going to, you know, be burned. Too much cold, you can be burned as well. The difference, however, is that with heat, if you're by an open flame, you know, you're going to see the flame, and if you, you know, accidentally touch that, you're going to pull back quicker. With frostbite, it comes on gradually, and so what will happen is oftentimes you won't really realize that it's happening until it's too late, and then, you know, when you start to develop blisters, then it's because basically the cold is leading to that blister formation, but it takes longer time, so what you're not going to notice, or what you would notice with fire, and as far as heat is concerned, or even touching a hot pan where you pull away quickly, you may not notice it as quickly with frostbite.
We're talking to Dr. Roland Tolliver at Podiatry at the FHN Family Healthcare Center at Burchard Hills. Doc, of course, you deal with feet on a regular basis. Tell us about the implications of feet and wintertime. Kind of give us an overview there.
Well, besides frostbite, you know, we have to concern ourselves with things like falling, you know, broken bones. We have, you know, sprained ankles, ligament damage, tendon damage, you know, anything like that can occur, you know, at any time of the year, but we seem to be a little bit more susceptible to it a lot of times in the wintertime because of things like black ice, you know, ice underneath the snow, ice on a porch step. We've seen that just recently where we've had people with broken toes, broken metatarsal bones, ruptured Achilles tendon just because, you know, they've missed the step or they've slid on the step. You know, one of the other things is that we really have to focus on, you know, you and I, you know, we're going to go out, we're going to feel the sensation, you know, if we are slipping, or we're going to feel a sensation of the cold for frostbite. But say we have a patient with diabetes, and the patient with diabetes has what's called peripheral neuropathy, where they've had a loss of protective sensation to the feet or the fingers. Well, if they can't feel what's going on, much like if they would touch heat, you know, they may get burned because and not realize it until they actually, you know, see the changes in the skin. Same thing with the feet and the hands if the patient has diabetes and neuropathy with it. Not everybody that has diabetes has neuropathy, but if they do have neuropathy and this loss of protective sensation, then they don't realize until it's too late that these changes have already started to occur. I've had patients that has happened to where they've been exposed to the cold for prolonged periods of time, and they did not realize it, you know, because of their diabetes until they came in, and that was already beyond the point of just regular frostbite and had gotten down to severe frostbite. And again, with the falling, you know, that's another issue. If you don't really feel the sensation of your feet against the ground surface, what can happen is you can slip much easier. You can, you know, break something and not even realize it until you've been walking on it for a while. And by that point, you can end up with displaced fractures or even open fractures that could be infected.
Let's talk about, you're the only one in the area here now with this, the Center for Wound Healing. And boy, I tell you, for diabetes or other similar conditions that do cause wounds, including frostbite as well, the Center for Wound Healing at FHN. Tell us about that.
Yes, we're getting ready to celebrate our ninth year in April. We have seen several thousand patients there over the course of the 9 years. We have provided services for patients with everything from diabetic foot ulcers to venous stasis ulcers, basically pressure ulcers that have developed, in addition to ulcers that develop from trauma, and also things that have developed such as osteoradionecrosis, which is a fancy term meaning that the bone is starting to die due to radiation therapy. A lot of times that can occur in the jaw if people have cancer that's affecting like the mandible or the jawbone, or in the mouth, they can develop this osteoradionecrosis much easier due to the radiation causing damage. Some of the treatments that we've done over the years and to continue to do include not only what we call surgical debridement or removal of dead tissue and applying different types of ointments and products that aid in healing, but we've also done skin grafts. We've done bioengineered skin grafts. Our newest one that we've been able to do recently is called Kerasys, which actually comes from North Atlantic cod. It's been used in the in Europe for a number of years now and has just been approved to be used in the United States over the last 1 to 2 years. And this is showing great promise because it has great wound healing potential and factors that are in the tissue itself that can be laid over our own skin and open wounds and protect it and also promote new healing. All of these are in addition to hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which is oftentimes used mostly as an adjunct. It's not a first line of defense for most of our care, frostbite being one of the exceptions. We did have a couple of severe cases of frostbite a few years ago that patients probably in years past would have lost their legs, and we were able to save the majority of their foot due to the fact that we were able to get them into the hyperbaric chambers early enough.
I just had somebody text in here and said that they had gotten, earlier in their life, they'd gotten frostbite so badly that now it comes back to haunt them. They crack and bleed if they get too cold again now.
That is very true. Once there's been tissue damage, it's going to be pretty much permanent if it gets into the tissue deep enough, and we are going to be much more susceptible to frostbite if we've had it in the past. So that's they're correct in that, so they need to take extra caution and make sure that they keep either two layers of gloves on, two layers of socks. I'm not sure which part of the body was affected by the frostbite, but usually the fingers and toes are the most common in our area. And so what we need to do is make sure that they take extra precaution to minimize the chance of having exposure to the cold for extreme temperatures or for any prolonged period of time.
All right, doctor, always great to talk to you. Now, how would someone go about getting scheduled for treatment potentially or checkup, especially on your feet now, and especially with diabetes and all that, and the Center for Wound Healing? How can they do that at the Family Healthcare Center at Burchard Hills?
Well, for ulcers and treatments that affect the open wounds like this that are failing to heal, and we usually tell people if it's a deep enough wound, we want to see you sooner. If it's a more superficial wound, but it's just not healing, then we want to, don't go longer than, a couple of weeks, typically. And that number at the Wound Center at 1036 West Stevenson at the Stevenson Street Clinic is 815-599-7410. For general podiatry care, Drs. Richard Bell and Dr. Saida Rashan and myself all work at Burchard Hills, in addition to at the Wound Center. Those appointments can be made by calling 815-599-7150. And as always, if people want to look at, see who the doctors are, they want to see what services we provide and where the locations are, they can go to www.fhn.org and they can check up on us and see where we're at.
All right. Doctor, always great information. Great to talk to you again. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Okay. Thank you, Scott, and have a great day.
You too as well. Dr. Roland Tolliver here today, podiatry at FHN Family Healthcare Center at Burchard Hills this morning, and that is the FHN Dial-A-Doc program here today, and the preceding brought to you today by FHN.